going to be a story from Mayor Bogomaw. Benny Lou has sort of through the queue, and they're going 15, and she's going 17 miles an hour. The wind is blowing from the northeast, and what time will it be when they get up? Well, it turns out that I was not a very serious book. It was a book addressed to modern thinkers, scientists, philosophers, many university professors, people who do not believe that there is a God. And they do not believe there is even any kind of spiritual world. Everything is matter, material, physical stuff. You look around this room, you see chairs, and you see walls, and you see carpets, and you see windows, and you see other people. We're all made up of atoms and parts of atoms. And that's all there is, many people believe. The late astronomer, what was his name? He wrote about portals, mainly for a PBS program that he ran called The Cosmos. And the book begins with this slide. The cosmos is all there is, all there was, and all there ever will be. There is nothing but physical matter. And that's it. Now, where comes the really hard question? The guy who wrote the book, like you have to know, I'm excited about him, but was wise enough to recognize that everything is simply stuff. And you became who you are right now today through a process of mutation. You know, we're all mutants as part of the theory of evolution. But over long periods of time, we have genetic changes, and some of those genetic changes enable us to survive better than creatures that don't have those genetic changes. And over eons and eons of time, by totally chance, purposeless activity, the world has become what we see it is today. And this man who was on that, in that camp, an atheistic materialist, said essentially, we have a really hard problem we're going to hold on to this theory, and that is, how do we ever come up with any kind of meaning? And the related question is, how do you ever account for morality? If human beings evolve through a process of survival of the fittest, doesn't it seem like if you're in the jungle and your enemy is going to attack you, that you will do anything you can to defeat him, murder him? To survive, you're going to do all kinds of what we would call evil things. Well, how can you explain then about why there is such a universal sense of right and wrong? These are tough questions. And I at least admire the man who wrote the book for asking them, because he really tried to answer, but either I got lost or really smart. It's too bad he doesn't come to this church, because I would say, sir, In the year of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled with the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of His glory." Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, all the world and ever, wherever they go." And the sound of their voices, the door of heaven, the door opened, and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This is awesome. And we read similar passages when the glory of the Lord descended upon the tabernacle of the Lord. When the glory of the Lord descended under the sound of the temple, the permanent structure, it's always fire, smoke, and light and awesome that is associated with the word glory. It must be a very important biblical concept because the word glory appears 590 times.
We should bear much fruit. Thank you.
Thank you. in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons, as sons through Jesus Christ. And why did he do this? In accordance with his pleasure and will. And it was to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he believes, he loves, which is Jesus Christ. We had a glorious beginning. God, eons ago before the world was even formed, predestined you to be his light, come like Christ. That's an awesome responsibility that we have to serve you out to glorify the God that we have here. But let me put it another way. Last week I talked about what should we be doing as our older life is that we ought to be coming more like Christ. And I don't think that's a contradiction with what I'm saying today, which is all my brothers were like that forever. There, to become more like Christ is to glorify God. And if we are glorifying God, become like Christ is to glorify God. And if we are glorifying God, we will become more like Christ. This is what's said in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We who with unveiled face, he's been talking about how all of this is unveiled in the gospel and prophecy, with the Sixth Commandment. We who with unveiled face all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness. And with ever increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is a description of what you are like when you are really in God's will. It's like looking in the mirror every day, and every day you get a little better. Only this is a spiritual condition. You look in that mirror and you see God's grace is making you a little more Christ-like. And sin, why it's important to take it seriously, follow that mirror, admire that image. It doesn't reveal what you want it to reveal instead. You look at that mirror and you're old. And you're not as good looking anymore. And you just whatever way you want to put it. But the two are interrelated. Because of God's glory, you can become and should become more like him. And it's an awesome thing to think that you might look in the mirror of your life and say, I'm a little better, I'm a little better. You don't have to look up, but you know, progress that you become more like Christ. Any other way that we might triumph sin is really the opposite of seeking God's glory. When we say the Lord's Prayer, sometimes we say, Lord, please forgive us of our trespasses. You think about that, if you've ever been on your snowboard or anywhere else that are lots of sand, burnt up and all kinds of snow, trespasses, right? And God says, if you walk through life, here's some places I don't want you to go. You don't belong there. And if you go in those places, you go in those directions, you have once again brought yourself away from where God wants to be, which is glorifying you. Where we talk about sin as missing the mark, I think of a bow and arrow, somebody aiming toward a target and it's missed the bullseye. I'm a little bit off, and as I go along, as long as I keep sinning, I'm getting further and further away from the target as I walk along the arrow going on the strike people near me, okay? And it's 180 degrees and you turn, but you do it for a little millimeter at a time. Until you discover that you were going in this direction toward glorifying God, but through trespassing and through missing the mark, which led to the turn to the long time of eternity. That's serious stuff. That's serious stuff. I want to give us a word of encouragement. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us your sins. Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know God is willing to forgive us when we go down the wrong path. And I want to end with one more note of encouragement. I think as we went on this job, the first job we're going to throw and go back and reflect on yourself. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 5. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 5. And I want to read this to you. His divine power, talking about Jesus Christ, has given us everything we need